You know, the world is looking for a sign. They may be looking in the wrong places, but they're still looking for a sign. So you and I are that sign. One of the things that God is always doing is He's working on us. He's never done with us. You know, the only day that you make it is when you get into the throne room. Then you can say, I made it. Other than that, we've never made it yet. Our dependency is on Him. We are not independent. We are independent from the world, but we are dependent on Him. Amen? In everything. And when we begin to become dependent on the world and on man, we begin to falter. We begin to drift. When we begin to rely on our own talents and abilities without acknowledging Him. That's why the Word says, acknowledge Him in all of your ways. Cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. You know, we are in a powerful season right now. We are seeing mighty things happen worldly. We are watching a president that's rejecting Israel. That means that there's going to come trouble to this country. He's a promoter of evil and a denier of righteousness. He's a servant of evil. And so are all of his cohorts that are in his office with them. They are liars and they are thieves. We see it from the IRS and all the way through. We're seeing all kinds of corruption happen, but we're watching prophecy be unfolded. That's the beauty. And if you don't know what's going on, it makes it very difficult. And people are being moved by what happens in the world instead of being moved by the Spirit. But we are in a tremendous season. We are in the last days. And we are in a time of testing and trial. One of the things God is doing is He's perfecting His people. And I want to say that again. He's perfecting His people. And there is a test of perfection. He's testing us and trying us so that we become perfected. You know, Israel, when the Israelites were in captivity for 400 years in Egypt, when the Lord took them out of Egypt, they wandered for 40 years. And the purpose of wandering was to get Egypt out of them. He was waiting for them to stop complaining and grumbling. He was waiting for them to come to a place of complete trust in Him. They saw signs, wonders, fire, cloud. They saw the sea being spread open. Their shoes, they didn't even need to change. They grew right with them. Animals were brought in to feed them. Rocks opened up to give them water. And they still grumbled. They still complained. And He kept them in the wilderness. Until they died, because they would not come to the end of themselves. And there are many believers who are still will stay in the wilderness until they die, until they come to that place of complete obedience. God is not interested in sacrifice. He's interested in obedience. Until we learn to come out from among them. The only reason why people stay among them is because they're still not dead yet. They still associate with worldly ways, worldly actions, worldly thoughts, and worldly people. In the book of Joel, would you go there, chapter 2? Joel 2. Oh, hallelujah. Test of perfection. In verse 28, Joel chapter 2. Would you read it with me? And it shall come to pass afterward that I will what? Pour out my Spirit on what? All flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall what? Prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit. In other words, there's going to be a pouring out of God's presence, which has been going on since the day of Pentecost, which is a fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost. He said, I'd pour out my Spirit. There would be dreams, there would be visions, and there would be prophecies. There would be dreams, there would be visions, and there would be prophecies. And these dreams, visions, and prophecies are godly desires. And the purpose of this is when the presence of the Holy Spirit comes, it's to exchange worldly desires for godly desires. We must reach a level of endurance, or what we call patience, because patience is endurance. There is a level of patience or endurance and faith, a level of patience and faith or endurance. Now, faith is also known as spiritual sight and trust, where you are able to see spiritually, because when God speaks, you see what you see, you move on. That is called faith. So there's a level that God is trying to get us to reach of a level of endurance in spiritual sight so that we act in perfection to carry His desire. Does everybody get it? See, because you can't carry His desire. He doesn't allow an individual to carry or manifest His desire until there's a level that is reached. Because you know what happens? People try to do it their way instead of His way. And it's never reached then. That's why we're always coming to the end of our self. Because self cannot touch the things of God. Only the new creation can. So there's what we call burning through the soul. See, there's an area where God is burning things through us. You're burning through stuff right now. There are things that you'll find that there's that tearing away. I don't know if you've ever taken apart a hard ball or a golf ball, or it's the inner core is a hard rubber and all around it is rubber bands. And what He begins to do is He begins to pull every rubber band, and everyone has a, if you take them apart, there's a sting to each one you take off until you finally get to the core. And that's what He does with us. And everyone's a sting. There's a tearing away. What you're actually doing is you're saying goodbye to yourself. You're saying goodbye to all associations with yourself. All desires of yourself, you're saying goodbye to. And there's a pain within that. There's a grieving within that. There's a wondering why in that. But this is where God wants to bring us to that place where there's no reasoning. There's no questioning. There's willing to let go. There's that area where we must allow the ripping of the old man to be separated. The further you are from yourself, the better you are. The more you touch self, the more you become corrupted. You become contaminated. In James chapter 1, we groan within us. Sometimes it's with sorrow. Sometimes it's with pain. Sometimes it's uncertainty. Because that groaning is the tearing away. And when people don't, what the enemy tries to do is distract. He tries to fluff up the emotion. He tries to reestablish feeling. But he wants to reconnect feeling with the old man. Does everybody understand that? He tries to connect feeling with the old self. If he can connect feeling with the old self, he can easily bring distraction, and he can easily stumble, cause a person to stumble or be misled. In the book of James, is everybody there? In chapter 1 and verse 2, what does it say? My brethren, count it all joy when you what? Fall into what? It doesn't say if, it says when you fall into. Why? Because this is how God perfects us. Through what? Trials. Tribulations. It says this, verse 3. Knowing that the what? Testing of your faith produces patience. Without patience in faith, you cannot fulfill the will of God. It's impossible. So there's got to be a place of endurance and spiritual sight. It says, but let patience have its what? Perfect. So what is patience? It is endurance, isn't it? Amen. He says, let it have its perfect work. Why? What's it going to do? It's going to assist in perfecting me and you. That you may be what? Say it again. That you may be what? Come on, read verse 4 with me. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect. And what's that for? To what? And what? Complete. So that what? You lack nothing. My God, if we can grab hold of this, we wouldn't be so goofy. We wouldn't touch those things. We wouldn't associate with those things. We wouldn't agree with those things that bring contamination or hindrance or misleading to us, because He's more important. See, the problem is people's soulish arena are more important to them. Their feelings are more important. When your feelings are more important, God can never trust you. And this is where He tests us. He's testing us on endurance or patience and spiritual sight. Because if you can't see, He can't trust you either. We should all have a desire to earn God's trust. But if we don't have that desire to earn His trust, then you're distant from Him. And you will never fulfill that will. You will fulfill your will. And you'll have nothing to account for when you stand before Him. Is everybody okay? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with what? No doubting. That's one of the things the Lord wants to burn from us, is doubt. No doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Now that's pretty wild, isn't it? So when there's doubt, you get nothing. He is double-minded and unstable, not in some ways, but in all their ways. Where there is doubt, where there is reasoning, that person is unstable. Remember, he's trying to perfect us with patience. Why? Because he brings us to a place. Let me share with you about patience. Not only is patience endurance, but patience brings God's perfect timing. It brings God's perfect timing. It also allows the Holy Spirit to make necessary adjustment in our lives. And what's he want to adjust in our lives? Divine order. I'm going to say this again. This patience, this perfect work of patience, brings God's perfect timing and allows the Holy Spirit to make necessary adjustments in our lives to establish a divine order. Why? Because this divine order is what carries divine desire of God, which is his perfect will. Again, he will bring dreams. He will bring visions and prophecies. Why? Because these things are his desire for me and you, so that his desire is imparted in me and you. And when his desire is imparted in me and you, we are now fighting for his desire, not ours. So there must be an exchange of desires on a continuous basis. Well, Lord, I just feel this. Well, you better just exchange that. Well, I just believe this. Well, you just better exchange that. Because I can tell you many times, most people's belief system is flawed. And where there's a flawed belief system, there's flawed perception. That's what the enemy loves to do. He likes to get you, he'll give you a sentence of truth, and in that sentence, there'll be a lie. It only takes one word to bring a flawed belief system in a sentence, and it'll bring flawed perception. It will nullify patience. It will nullify faith. I'm telling you, God is perfecting his people. There's an arena right now where he's trying to bring us, how can we become like-minded? How can we become like-willed? There's got to be a burning through. We want to be carriers of God's desire, so it's going to take endurance. It's going to take spiritual sight. You know, the word says, know who you labor with. Man, we better know who we labor with. When people decide to serve in this ministry, their personal life is my business, whether they like it or not. Their personal life is my business. When you serve in this house, it's my business. Why? Because if you're touching unclean things, you won't serve here. I didn't say you won't make a mistake. But if you're on a continuous path of touching unclean things, you can't serve. And people know that they've been removed from serving here. There's been people in offices. God gives everybody an opportunity. But what's he trying to do? He's trying to what? Perfect us. Why? Who can stand in the hill of God and in presence? He who has a what? Pure heart and what? Clean hands. Why? Because he wants us to be like-minded. Everybody in here should be like-minded. It serves here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Is everybody there? Let's speak verse 16. Therefore, we do not what? Lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our what? Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and what? Eternal weight of glory. So there's going to be affliction, isn't there? Those are trials. Verse 18, look at this. While we do not look at the things which are seen. So what's he trying to do? He's trying to produce what? Endurance in spiritual sight. Look at this. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are what? Not seen. That is spiritual sight. For the things which are not seen are temporary, but the things which are are seen, wait a minute, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So if we are supposed to be eternal beings serving in an eternal ministry with an eternal body, God wants to get us to that place where he's going to test us for perfection so that we can see things all the way through and we can endure no matter what goes on. Why? Because he's not looking for people that are unstable. He's not looking for soulish people. He's looking for people that are going to stand for truth all the way and not compromise, be complacent or lazy, but are discerning and sensitive to the Spirit's call. Is everybody all right? What's he trying to do? These light afflictions are to promote spiritual sight, discernment, allowing the ability to cooperate with divine power of God, which enforces his will in a tangible world. Do I need to say that again? Light afflictions, these are to promote spiritual sight and discernment, allowing the ability to cooperate with the divine power of God, which enforces his will in a tangible world. You can get the CD. 1 Peter chapter 4. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Would you read it with me, please? Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the what? Fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. It is a fiery trial. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, although people call their disobedience a reproach of Christ when they brought it on themselves, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And on their part he's blasphemed, but on your part he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a what? A murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a what? Busybody in other people's matters. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Wow. In Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. In verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a what? Refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord the offering in what? Righteousness. Again, he cannot and will not trust self. So the end of self must be priority in a believer's life to fulfill anything the Lord is requiring of us. Refining of our ways is implemented, so every trial will produce righteousness. Every trial will produce righteousness, not offense. Every trial produces righteousness and not offense. That's what he's looking for. And one of the things he's doing is burning out doubt, fear, and rebellion. Doubt, fear, and rebellion. So that we're no longer producing offense, but righteousness through our trials. In Job chapter 23. Job 23. It's in the employment section of the Bible called Job. If you need a job, I'll tell you what, you become like Job, you'll get a job. Everything, at the end, he got blessed with everything double, right? In verse 1, it says, "Then Job answered and said, 'Even today my complaint is bitter. My hand is listless because of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him. I would fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in his great power? No, but he would take note of me. There the upright could reason with him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. Look, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the ways that I take. When he has what? Tested me, I shall come forth as what? Gold. Now when gold is melted, it's transparent. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food.'" In other words, what he has done is he's exchanged everything to know him, to carry his desire, and to fulfill his desire. He's expressing the area where God is testing him. He's bringing him the test of perfection. Why? Because people, God wants me and you to be transparent so people don't see us, they see him. So we're to come out as gold, precious, moldable, of great value. He not only wants to use us and bless us, but he wants to change us. And that's where we got to be willing to cooperate. Again, that's where that pain and groaning comes from, because there's that area where God is placing us on the potter's wheel and crushing us so he can remold us, and it doesn't feel good. Because your feelings are being exposed, and he's saying, now get rid of them. Why? Because they're an offense to me, he says. Your feelings are an offense to me. Get rid of them. The only feelings he wants to see is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 10, test of perfection. See, he's checking out who's going to really carry his desires out. In verse 36, Okay. 35. "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward." And who's your confidence in? You or him? Amen. "For you have need of what? Endurance, so that after you have done the will of God or carried his presence and manifested his desire," amen, "then you will receive the promise, which is a reward. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by what? Faith, which is what? Spiritual sight. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul." So you and I are needing of endurance. Endurance is the ability to remain steadfast, on course, consistent, and unwavering. I'm going to say that again. To remain steadfast on course, consistent and unwavering. In Romans 12, test of endurance. I mean, test of perfection. And your endurance will be tested too, I can tell you that. Test of perfection. He is perfecting me and you. He wants to know whether you're going to run when it doesn't feel right. Are we runners or are we fighters? There used to be a saying in the world, are you a man or are you a mouse? Verse 1, Romans 12. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice." In other words, you're exchanging your life for his to serve. "Wholly acceptable to God, which is your responsibility or your reasonable service." And verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world." Do not be conformed to this world. "But be transformed by the" what? "Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's his desire, isn't it? So there's got to be a place where we must change the way we think. Our thinking must change. Our attitude must change. And our associations must change to run with his desire and fulfill it. Thinking attitude associations. Galatians chapter 6. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Testing of perfection. In verse 7, Galatians 6, 7. You know, it doesn't mean that we won't make a mistake, amen? But when we make that mistake, let's not do it again. You know, there was a young lady that was with us, and we got a call one day, and her mother said that this young girl tried to kill her, chased her around the house with a knife. And so she came and stayed with us during the summertime, and God delivered her, healed her, and this kid was on fire for God and was prophesying. I'm telling you, she could see things through. She had faith that would move mountains. And she had a scholarship for college. And her parents were believers. I use that word, believers, in a fair way. And one morning we were praying, and the Lord said to her he didn't want her to go back to school. And she knew it. She got up that morning and was like, I'm not supposed to go back to college, even though she had a scholarship. And when we tried to explain to her family that there was a call in her life and that God was trying to raise her up another way, her family, supposedly believers, rejected it. Sent her to school. She came home the first day, came running to our house and was just devastated. But she wanted to please her parents. She was young. She was, what, 16, 17, 18? And we didn't see her for about a month. And when we saw her, she had changed. And we didn't see her for years. Next thing we knew, she was in the hospital. She was not the same person. She got involved in pornography and all kinds of stuff. And her life was never the same. She had gone deep into darkness and never came back, as far as we know. All because of a gift that she had been granted that took her out of position. And never came back in position. Again, this is the area where parents that are not filled with God's Spirit and know the will of God will mislead their own children. They sent that child right into the hands of the devil. And she never let go. Never came back. I wasn't very comfortable with that whole thing. My flesh wanted to react. I was angry. But the only thing I could do was pray. But God will not interfere with our will. And even though things might be granted and given to you freely, doesn't mean that you use them. Does everybody understand that? See, people think that because something was granted to them, it came from God. When the enemy will try to infiltrate and get you something free to mislead you or distract you. It could be anything. No matter what it is, we must always acknowledge the Lord and ask if this is it and get confirmation in things. People move more on their desires or their feelings than they do on God's will. I share that story because the enemy is going to do this. That's his job. It's to move us off course. It's to make something look good, pretty, and wrapped up with a gift and a nice bow. And when you open it, it explodes. Why? Because you didn't see in it before you opened it. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He sees in things before you open them. Is everybody okay? In verse 7, is everybody there? Don't be what? Oh, hallelujah. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will reap. And for he who sows to his flesh will reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not what? Grow weary while doing good. For in due season we will reap if we what? Don't lose what? Heart. In other words, don't let go. Don't. Let go. In other words, he's going to give you dreams. He's going to give you visions. He's going to give you prophecies. These are his desires for me and you to carry. It's a desire that you and I to carry because it's his will. But in this desire to carry this will, there's going to be a place where he's going to burn garbage out of me and you. He's going to make sure that it is pure, clean hands and a pure heart that carries his desire and his will. He's going to make sure that we carry the right attitude. That we carry the correct thinking, that our associations are clean. He's going to make sure that you and I are able to see things through with faith and that we're able to endure all the attempts of the enemy. Does everybody get that? You know, in the book of Habakkuk, it says, run, run, run to those who read the vision, write it down, and run with it. In other words, run means you must put things into force. Does everybody understand that? In other words, if somebody hands you something, when the Lord hands you his desires, it means that there must be a willing desire, an aggressive desire, to learn to endure, to learn to be able to see spiritually, and to absorb the training that he's preparing for me and you so we can carry his desire to fulfill his will. So listen, every time, in other words, when there's an impartation of his will, his desire, he's going to train you. He's going to prepare you to carry it. He's going to allow you to go through the trials of testing for perfection. In fact, what he does sometimes, he'll put a desire in you through prophecy, through dream, through vision. He'll put a desire in you as you begin to start carrying it. You're carrying this desire and will and not realizing that he's using that desire to burn you. He'll even put you in position to burn you and expose you. Because you may have a desire to fulfill a position. And when he puts you in that position, he put that desire in there. So when he puts you in there, what he begins to do is he's testing you for perfection now. He'll run you through trials to burn out the garbage, the darkness. He'll put you through that place so that your emotions are exposed. He'll put you in that place where you begin to see your own words coming out of your mouth. You'll know that these words are displeasing to him because they'll become displeasing to you. Because he wants you to be like him. Amen? So in this, there must be an aggressive forcefulness now that is so overbearing in you that you want to just learn. You want to see. You want to endure. This is your life now. See, when he gives you something, it's his to be fulfilled. So we must become like him to fulfill it. We can't fulfill it in our way. We fulfill it in his way. So there must be a willingness to do whatever it takes and to burn through so that we have a pure heart and clean hands. In Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. Is everybody there? In verse something. Hallelujah. In verse 10. It says, "For this is he whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not yet risen one greater than John the Baptist. For he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven," what? "Suffers," what? "Violence. And the violent," what? "Take it by," what? "Force." So when you take that, when that vision comes, when that prophecy comes, when that dream comes of his desire, it is not going to be fulfilled until you are prepared to fulfill it. He prepares you first. He changes you first. See, he puts those things in you to change you. And if we're not willing to go through the change, it will never come to pass. You will find everything. Why? Because when he establishes and puts in his will, he provides. But first thing he does is change you. Then provision comes to fulfill that desire. Is everybody all right? Oh, hallelujah. So they take it by force. The force is the anointing, the presence, the eternal power and truth. We must be aggressive to attack the existence of the enemy, the resistance of the enemy. First of all, you must understand that he exists. Amen? We must be aggressive to attack on a daily basis the resistance of the enemy so that we can endure all the distractions, all the attempts, all the temptations of the enemy, so it doesn't alter the course or promote a false desire or vision. In Joshua chapter 1, would you go there for a minute? Joshua 1. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that Joshua that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, rise, go over this Jordan and all this people to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the great sea toward going down of the sea shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. And I will not leave you, nor what? Forsake you. Be strong and what? Of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. In other words, he's saying, I'm sending you over. You're going to need to take or possess this land. That means take it by force. You're going to have to fight. Go to Habakkuk chapter 2. I want to read this so you get a good understanding. There will be resistance always. In verse 2 it says, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, then he may what? Run who what? Reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end of it, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. That means endure, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Amen. And Matthew 28. So you and I are going to possess the land. We must possess it. We must battle the airways of spiritual warfare to set the path, direction, and movement of his desire to infiltrate the tangible world. It's our responsibility to open the port so that his will is released in the tangible world. Matthew 28, is everybody okay? So there's going to be a testing of perfection, isn't there? All of this because he released the desire in you. Why? Because there's more than just using you and blessing you. It's changing me and you. Matthew 28, verse 19. Oh, praise God. What does he say? Go what? Go therefore, go therefore, go therefore. That means what? Take it by force. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I'm going to close at Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. So you thought serving the Lord was going to be tiptoeing through the tulips. No, the word says that it is difficult and narrow. The path is narrow and difficult. Why? Because the closer you get, the narrower the path gets, because it's more crushing. So that you finally come out gold, transparent, where people can see him and not you. Therefore, verse 1, therefore leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us what? Go on to what? Go on to what? Perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of doctrines of baptism, of laying on of hands of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgments. In other words, it's time to move on. But you can't move on until these things are all been fulfilled. That means coming to the end of yourself. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. In other words, you and I can't. Only the Lord can. Hallelujah. If they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which we have shown towards his name. and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become what? Sluggish. But what? Imitate those through faith and patience inherit the what? The promises. Praise God. So know that there is a testing of perfection. Is a testing so that faith or endurance or faith in spiritual sight and patience of endurance is established so that we are carriers not only of His desire, but knowing that His desire that's within us as carriers is changing me and you. Testing of perfection. You're in it. You don't escape it. You can't reject it. And you can't run from it. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're in it. So why not cooperate with it? Amen? And quit fighting it. Quit bucking and start bowing. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be perfected in each and every one of us and protected so that it may grow and bear fruit for your glory.